survived my party. Hey, I think we did pretty good. 20, I think, what did we count? 28 of us raining. So we're all in one little thing there. I think we did pretty good. The Lord helped us. It's good to see y'all this morning. I'm trying to think of how I want to start this. This started, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago about my party stuff, about my poo and my playhouse and all that stuff. And God, like, gave me a vision. I seen it. And he told me whenever we got the pool done, Scotty started on the playhouse. What he told me was, he took me to that scripture over there where he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. See, a lot of people think about the blessing and they're only thinking about theirself. But see, you ain't really got to the true blessing yet till God has blessed you and then he makes you a blessing to others. Because the blessing is not just for us, but kind of like the water hose, we get wet, right, while the water flows through. So anyway, he told me that and he said, you're going to bless them and they're going to help you. And I thought, how are they going to help me? But anyway, whatever you say, Lord, it's going to be good and all that. Well, 2 days before, sometimes God seems a little sneaky to me. He's not sneaky, but he knows the plan and where he's going, and we're just following his lead. So how many knows we're always catching up? In other words, 2 days before the party that we had was Aubrey's birthday party yesterday. All of a sudden, he showed me and he said, you're a hostess. Well, I understand that in the natural. I have an aunt. She is a very good hostess. They have parties all the time. You go up there, you need anything, she's the one you tell. She gets it for you, all that stuff. And I thought, all of a sudden, I could see it. And I remembered what he said. They're going to help you. Because how many knows what a hostess does? And I'm like, God, you're kind of sneaky there. They're going to help me, but you never told me that's how they're going to help me. So the title this morning is, we're just going to talk about a servant. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew 23. How many knows this is where God takes every one of us? Every one of us that's born again, we're supposed to be a servant. But now your servanthood may look different than somebody else's. Just like if you're out here, you're involved in the giveaway, you know, that's a different part than what a lot of other people get to do. But how many know somewhere in your life, God uses things for you to be a servant to others? Why? He's a servant. He said, no greater love than does any man have than what? He laid down his life for his friends. Well, that don't always mean you're jumping out in front of a car for somebody. That means you feel one way, but you do something else sometimes. I told Mama after the party yesterday, I've been excited, looking forward to it, you know. And listen, and all of y'all that wasn't there, don't feel bad, you're coming. You're going to be invited to probably not the next one, but I'm hoping the next one, because all that was there yesterday, they was actually our guinea pigs, but they didn't know it. Because I told Scotty, I said, we get all these people over here. I said, and if there's any kinks, any problems, anything, that's when we're going to find them. Far as I know, there wasn't any. So y'all will be included in some of them. All right, let's see here. Oh, yeah, I forgot what I was going to tell you. I told Mama yesterday, I've been excited, you know, to have this party and everything, you know, and all that, and a little bit nervous and all that. But then yesterday morning, I went to bed Friday night, and I was good. I was fine. I got out of the bed yesterday morning. You ever just get out of the bed, and it's like you could just rip somebody's head off? Ain't nothing. Johnny says, no, not never. Samantha's going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a lot of those things. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, seriously, nothing happened. Nobody did anything. You go to bed one way, and you just get up another way. How many knows that's nothing more than feelings? And we're called to walk by what? Live by what? And not what? Sight or feelings or anything else, right? So it's just feelings. So I prayed yesterday and I said, Lord, Holy Ghost, you're going to have to help me. Help me do what I know to do and not by how I feel. Because if I do how I feel, everybody's going to be miserable. And it's not going to be a good party. Well, I told Mama yesterday after almost everybody left, I said, you ever get up like that? She's like, oh, yeah. She said, well, I didn't know it. I thought, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. You don't supposed to know it, right? Do you realize it's the same thing with fear? Now, fear is a spirit also. But the thing about it is, You can actually feel so afraid till you are physically shaken. But how many knows, unless it gets in you and becomes a part of you, it's nothing more than just a feeling. And you don't have to yield to that, right? All right, let's look here at Matthew 23. Get over here. Let's see. Let me figure out which way I want to tell Beth to do that. Beth, I think I want this in the Amplified, please. Excuse me. We're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus said to the multitudes and to his disciples, 'The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat of authority. So observe and practice all they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy loads hard to bear and place them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to help bear them. They do all their works to be seen of men, for they make wide their phylacteries, small cases enclosing certain scripture passages worn during prayer on the left arm and forehead, and make long their fringes worn by all male Israelites according to the command. And they take pleasure in and thus love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with honor in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi.'" Excuse me. "But you are not to be called rabbi, teacher, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone in the church on earth father, for you have one father who is in heaven. And you must not be called masters, leaders, for you have one master, leader, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your" what? "Servant. Whoever exalts himself with haughtiness, empty pride, shall be humbled, brought low. And whoever humbles himself, whoever has a modest opinion of himself." Now see, that's not talking about, some people think humility is you're down in yourself all the time. That's not what humility is. Humility is you think in proper alignment according to God's word about yourself, not above it or below it, but in proper alignment. "And whoever humbles himself, whoever has a modest opinion of himself and behaves accordingly, shall be raised to honor." But notice what that said. It said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, what do you got to do? We don't hear a lot about that today. I don't hear much preaching or teaching on TV or anything. Not that I don't ever. But I don't hear a lot about that today. What I do hear a lot about most of the time is how to get your money. And a lot of churches have become kind of like life coaches. Y'all know what I'm talking about by that? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They tell you how good you are. They tell you how to build yourself up and all this stuff. And that's good. God does. But at the same time, if you're going to get greater, if you're going to get bigger, if you're going to get stronger, if you're going to get more, then you got to go lower. And that's what he's doing to me with my building. Actually, I have changed when I'm fasting. Now I fast for humility. I hadn't told anybody about this because, I mean, there's no point to that until now. Because I realized this, and the desire of my heart, God told me, I don't know, a year ago or whenever, he said, if you'll delight yourself in me, and that word delight means soft, moldable, pliable, he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we got a lot of people are kicking and screaming and scratching and doing everything they can to get the desires of their heart to come to pass. Just like this, you don't have to pray for money. Why would I say that? Because in the kingdom, everybody's rich. Is God broke? He says it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doesn't he say he supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Absolutely. So I don't have to spend my time praying for money. Now, I didn't say don't ask God for what you need or whatever. But the thing that I'm trying to say is, he says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what? What is all these things? Where you live, what you drive, what you wear, your clothes, your food, spiritual food, everything that you could possibly need. The Bible even goes on and says that we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So spiritually, we're not lacking anything, right? According to the word. Now, we might be in the natural, but how many is it's already there and we grow into it. Some people think humility is a one-time thing, or to do away with pride is a one-time thing. That's not so. Every day of our lives, we have to be going lower. Y'all not saying much. Why? The Bible says prefer others above yourself. How are you going to love your neighbor as you love yourself? You're going to have to go lower. Why? Because, I'm going to tell on myself now. Sometimes, not now, but I mean, there has been before. You know that two lane coming out of Arab that goes back into a one lane? I be going down through there, and I don't know what it is. It just hits people sometimes. You'll see them. They're way back yonder, and they hit that two lane, and something just cranks them. They kick it, and they are on my bumper, and then they're beside me, and it's turning back into a one lane. And I'm not letting you go. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all drive the same way, do you? I'm just kidding. Now, I don't do that anymore. But what would happen? See, just in that area, any place that you find it, you got to kill it. So now, when I'm coming down through there and something kicks in on them, you can see it. Something kicks in on them, and they get on my bumper, and they try to go, I'll slow down and let you go on. Why? Because, see, I have to take every opportunity to kill that. Whether it's in my driving, whether it's in my talking. Just last night, I thought about something happening or whatever and thought about a way that I would say that, and God showed me a different way to say it. Why? Because the desire of my heart is, I want to be what God wants me to be. And I have come to the place of that because I'm so sick of not being who I'm supposed to be, who I'm called to be, who God says I am. And I want that in every area of my life. And I am way far away from it. But how many knows the Bible says we go from glory to glory? Not mean we didn't have any glory to start with. It's just there's another level. And that's what God is saying now. Not that we haven't been servants or whatever. I believe that all of us in here have. A lot of us in here, most of us in here, we work in this ministry to serve the people here, to serve people that come through the giveaway and things like that. But how many knows there's another level that we're supposed to be attaining to? And when we get to the next level, God's going to say, come on up here. There's another level. Why? Because this never stops. It's never you become a servant and that's the end of it. It's never you humble yourself and that's the end of it. There's not a person in here, I would dare say, that has reached the total humility of Christ yet. What's that mean? I can keep going lower. But see, God doesn't make me go lower. I make me go lower. Now, He may deal with me. He may tell me things, just like what I told you a while ago. He may show me things, but He doesn't make. Why? He's not a forcer, because I have free will. Every one of us has free will. But the thing about God is when God is doing, even though you may not like it necessarily to a degree, but it's like you have an inspiration on the inside to do it or be it, right? So in other words, if we're going to go up, let me say this. Some was not here. They didn't hear this. And some, y'all probably done forgot about it, because I forgot about the whole thing other than this little part. When Adedola was here, he said quite a bit to almost everybody in the church that night, prophesying to most everybody. But I remember some of the things that he said about the church, and one of them that he said was that this church, that means this body, is going to take a 90-degree turn. You know how fast and quick a 90-degree turn is? You're going 60 miles an hour, and you jerk it left all of a sudden. So everybody better be hanging on, right? Why? Because God's got a place for us to go. He knows the plan. But it's going to be this whole body. I think I said a couple of years ago, you know, God makes us one. That's one of the things that He's doing, is He works on every body, every church body, to become one. Just like He talks about, what is that, I can't think now, 1 Corinthians 12, where He talks about the gifts, and 13 and 14 and all of that stuff. So where we go, we have to go as one man. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? We have to go as one corporate person. Well, I don't know if y'all noticed, but, and hopefully you haven't. If you haven't, we've been doing our job good. That things has been happening, not just recently, but for a while now. And I don't know what this 90-degree turn is going to look like or take on. I've seen God do things. How many knows everybody that comes here is not with us? I remember, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, he said that God made it known because they was not with us is why they left us. I've seen God do things that you think that people's heart is with you, talking about this body here and different things like that. And then God do something and reveal their heart. They're not here anymore. It's not because we put them out. It's not because God put them out. It's because they was not with us to begin with. So every one of us, we have to come in here and our hearts have to become one with the Lord and one with each other. And one of the ways we're going to do that is becoming servants even more to each other. There's some people here, you do not one thing in this ministry. I don't say that in a bad way. I don't care if you do anything or not, as far as me personally. But what I'm telling you is, see, the Bible says wherever your heart is, your treasure is going to be there also. Right? Just like tithing, people think about tithing or giving money or things like that. Johnny would be a perfect example. Not to pick on Johnny. Y'all remember when Johnny first come? We see him every now and then on Sunday morning. Johnny was a good guy. We liked Johnny, but I guess he just had other stuff to do. I don't know, Johnny. I don't know what it was. But then after a period of time, him and God, whatever they got done or whatever, Johnny's here probably more times than most of us. You know, whether he feels good, whether he feels bad. Why am I saying that? Not to say anything about Johnny. You can see the progression of people's hearts through their lives. Because he says, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. See, if the church, if God, if your treasure, your heart is in God, you go after him. I'm not talking about you listen to a few sermons of preaching on TV. How many knows that's not a servant? I'm talking about those hard times, those things that you don't feel like doing. You feel like doing totally opposite. But because your heart is with God and your heart is with the church or God's people or what you do, what you do for somebody else, regardless of how you feel. Why? Servants don't think about themselves. The Bible says prefer others above yourself, right? That means if I'm going to the door and Sandy's walking close to me, what do? I get the door and I open the door and I let her go in. Y'all asleep? I know what it is. None of us really want to hear some of this stuff sometimes. Say, if you want to be great, go low, right? But anyway, your heart has to be one. Because, see, it ain't just about going to church. It's about, and see, you can go to church, and if your heart is not in there like it should be, and with and for the people and God like it should be, you do not get out of the services what God intended for you to. Why? In order for my finger to get blood, it has to stay attached to my hand. Because if it gets off of my hand, it's not going to get any blood. It's not going to get the nourishment and things that it needs. And so it's not just about what we do, but we do what we do because of the place that our heart is in, right? How many knows everybody in your home, say, like April and Monty for an example, they got a lot of kids. What is there, three of y'all at home now? Yeah, three of y'all boys. I guarantee you, everybody has something they have to do. Is that right, Blake? Blake's shaking his head. I heard the other day you wash your own clothes, right? You know why he had on a suit the other day? Not trying to tell on you, Blake. Wasn't because he was trying to look good, even though he looked good. I heard him telling somebody, this is all I had to wear. I didn't wash my clothes this week. The reason why I'm bringing that up, do you understand, according to Scripture, the Bible talks a lot about the family and the home comparing to the church and the body of Christ and Jesus and all of this stuff. Why? Everybody in here is supposed to have a part. Everybody's in here's heart is supposed to be for God. Everybody in here, your heart is supposed to be for the other person that's in this room, right? That's servanthood. So we have to get more of that. And the more of that that we do out of our hearts based on God leading us and wanting to be what he wants us to be, do you realize the greater the glory, the greater manifestation of his presence that is in a service to where ain't nobody even got to say a word and tears just begin to roll down people's face or they just fall out of the pew and start laughing. It's whatever God needs them to do for them. Because see, there's times we have services here, it's a lot of flesh. You can tell it whenever that's happening. Why? There's not much spirit. There's not much spirit moving. But then there's other times when our hearts and our minds and we're after God and all that stuff and we come in here and we come together and I stand back there and when Travis first starts the praise and worship, tears start rolling down my face. Aubrey's like, Grandma, why do you cry? Then there's other times I'm standing there and I just start busting out laughing. God is hilarious. He is so funny. And she'll say, Grandma, why you laugh? And I try to explain to her, you know, it's just however God touches you, you know. That's the expression that it causes at the time. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm sure y'all probably do. I want more of God in here than he's ever been in here before. And what I'm talking about, not that God is not here. If you're born again, he's on the inside of you. So when you came in the door, yes, he came in here with us, each one of us, because we carry him. But how many knows God is everywhere according to the word, but he's not manifesting or revealing himself everywhere. He manifests and reveals himself just like the word says, God inhabits the praises of his people. But Jesus said it's not about the mouth. It's not about the clapping or the jumping up and down. He said if you're going to worship God, you got to worship him how? In spirit and in truth. No hypocrisy, no pretense, and out of your spirit, not out of your head. Amen? All right, let's see here what we got. I looked up the word servant. Now, there's several different meanings of the word servant in different scriptures. But each one of the scriptures that I'm going to read this morning, this is the definition of this word servant that's used in the scriptures. The Strong's Concordance says it means to run on errands. I thought, God, that's exactly what a hostess does. It means to run on errands, an attendant, a waiter at table, or other menial duties. What's that mean? Means I just do for everybody. Right? Let me see here. The next scripture. Let's look at Mark 9. Let's just say that when I think in the King James, please, Beth. We're going to start reading in verse 33 here. It says, and he came to Capernaum, talking about Jesus, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? It says, but they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. In other words, they're going down the road arguing who's going to be the greatest apostle or all this stuff. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be what? Last of all. And what? Servant of all. What's that mean? You don't think about yourself. A servant ain't thinking about his or herself. They're always thinking about somebody else. I thought about it yesterday. Said, you know, this is new for me. Now, I mean, to a degree. It's kind of like God's just having me come up on another level. I've been a servant. I mean, I've done things here, and I have never been a hostess. Never. What are y'all laughing about? Anyway. And then God, listen, God will create you an opportunity. He won't tell you something to do or say, tell you something you are without giving you an opportunity to obey that word. Just like this. Say he tells you, you know it in your heart, you know you're supposed to give somebody some money, just for an example. Maybe you don't know who or anything. But how many knows, if you got that in your heart, somewhere down the road, you need to be looking, because somewhere down the road, God's got somebody, it's your opportunity, and it's their blessing. And how many knows, he said it's greater to give than it is to receive. Why? Because you already got blessed because you got it to give, number one. And then the joy and things that it brings to other people, that's a blessing in itself, right? So he says there, if you're going to be a servant, you're going to be last, and you're going to be servant of all. Some people are not too good to serve. I used to be a waitress. I worked down there at Double B when I was 18 years old. Everybody is not a good, what is the one that's being served? What would you call that? Yeah, I forget. Customer. I have to help me. My head's a little messed up today. I partied too much yesterday, I guess. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, some customers are not too good to wait on. You know, whether you're at a store or you're at a restaurant or something like that. I mean, some of them, they're not very good. So how many knows? It don't always feel good, and you don't always get a reward from people for serving them. But how many knows we're supposed to be doing this for God? How many knows husbands and wives are supposed to serve each other? That's one of the biggest problems in marriage. You see, if you're having a problem in marriage, you should go read 1 Corinthians 13 every day and try to figure out, God, how can I apply your word to my marriage every day? How many knows that ain't always easy? See, Scotty looks real good and he's real sweet to y'all, but he can be a little ugly. Now, he's most of the time he's not, and he's getting better just like I am. But how many knows when we do that, it's kind of like working out with spiritual barbells. Your love is growing. It's getting stronger. According to the Word of God, there's no need for you to pray for the love of God. If you're born again, according to the Word, you already have it. The Bible says, what is it, Romans 5 or 4 or somewhere around in there, that the love of God has already been shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you might think, well, how come I don't feel love? Number one, love is not a feeling. The Bible says God is love. Love is a commitment. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, I don't find anywhere in there where it talks about a feeling. It talks about thoughts. It talks about doing, right? Things like that. Talks about how that it doesn't take account of a evil or wrong done to it whatsoever. It doesn't keep score, in other words. So what do you think? If you did that in your marriage, how would your marriage be? Be good. Getting gooder and gooder, as Brother Brad says. I don't think that's a word, but that's what he says. It would be getting better and better, right? But do you know how many people won't take the time to do that? See, I would really like to look like certain people. I have a girl on my refrigerator. It's the one that I've had for years. And I started working on looking like her, but then I quit. You know, and she's not an olive oil. She's slim, trim, but she's got a little bit of muscle, and she's got a little bit of a six-pack on there, you know. You can tell she's strong. Well, you can tell I don't want that bad enough. You didn't have to say that so loud. I don't want that bad enough. Why? Because I'm not doing anything to get that. See, you can look at other people and think, oh, I wish I had the faith they had. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, according to God. If you want healing, how many healing scriptures do you have wrote down that you've went and looked up, that you read every day with the help of the Holy Ghost? Why? We spent 8 months on Mark 4, Matthew 11, and Luke 8. Y'all remember that? The sower sows the word. Okay, I am the sower in my life. I'm supposed to sow the Word of God, and God sows the Word into us too. But every day, and I'm supposed to be watering that Word every day, right? See, if you're broke, why are you broke? There's money scriptures all in this Word. There's prosperity scriptures for your marriage, prosperity scriptures for your health, prosperity scriptures for your money, all in this Word. But how many people is actually getting the book, looking up the scriptures, writing them down, taping them on a tape or whatever, however that you can have those, and you go over them every day? See, that's the problem. That's the reason why I don't look like that girl on my refrigerator. I don't want that bad enough. It's not because I don't know. Do you realize most people, it's not because they don't know? The Bible says over in James 1:22, it says, be doers of the word, not deceiving yourselves, right? Why? Because if I know the word, if I hear the word and I don't do the word, then I'm not going to get the results of the word, and I'm going to sit around thinking, I just don't know why God don't do this, and I don't know why God don't do that. God has already done everything. Jesus is not coming again to be crucified or take stripes or anything to pay for our healing, right? He's not coming and doing anything again for us to have peace. Some people live in such chaos. Why? Because you're chaos. How do you get peaceful? Go in there, look up all the scriptures on the word peace. Write down the ones that you feel the leading of the Holy Ghost or you feel pertains to you. And then you take those and you take them like the word says according to Proverbs 4:20-22. The word is medicine. It's medicine to my failing marriage. It's medicine to my sick body. It's medicine to my kids, whatever they need. You understand what I'm saying? But if you don't take your medicine, you can go to the best doctor there is, specialist in his field, and him write you a prescription. How many knows you ain't going to get no better? If you go home and you're like, well, I went to the doctor now, and you put it in the drawer. Are you dumb? I mean, that's what I would think if I did that. Teresa, are you dumb? Why would you go to the doctor? Just to get a diagnosis? No, I want something better. So the word, God is, Jesus is our physician, right? But the sower sows the word in our hearts. So you got to get that word, and you got to take it, and you got to take it, and you got to take it, and you got to, I don't know how long you'll have to take it before you get a harvest. But that was 8 months of how the kingdom works. It doesn't operate any other way than what we learned there in Mark 4, Matthew 13 and Luke 8. That whole thing is about the kingdom. And he said, if you don't get this parable, the one that he was talking about, how are you going to understand any of the rest of them? Because this is the granddaddy, in other words, of how the kingdom operates. Just like you. You didn't get born again until you heard the word of God somehow. Now, it might not have been a scripture, but it had something to do in line with scripture. God loves you or something, I don't know. But once you really heard that word, I'm talking about in your heart, and we learn during that a willing heart causes a hearing ear. I couldn't hear, I don't know how many times I heard the gospel before I actually got born again and received it. Why? My heart was so hard, I couldn't even hear it. But here comes some circumstances, and my heart got softer. My heart got willing, and you know what? Then, bing, I heard it. And bam, I received it and got born again. That's most everybody. But that's how the kingdom operates. So if you're having problems in your marriage, listen, the only one you can change is you, honey. But I have learned, if I change, Scotty's got to change. I changed, Travis didn't know how to react to me. Because one of the things that we always did, he tries to cut me and I cut him a little lower. Then he tries to cut me a little lower. Why are you laughing? It's just, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean going on something all the time, you know, or whatever. They would think it was funny. They'd say, watch this, Dad. He'd say or do something, then they start giggling, you know, or laughing or whatever. I don't do that anymore. My God's elder woman, don't do that. So I told Scotty after a while, I said, Travis is having to learn how to react to me because he don't know. Why? I'm a different me in areas. I mean certain areas. In that area. So he has to learn how to react to me differently. If you're having a problem in your marriage, then you change. Because all your griping and all you're putting it off on them ain't doing. Listen, yesterday, Scotty breathing was on my nerves. And the poor man, bless his heart, he did nothing wrong. He did absolutely nothing wrong. It was me. And every time I had a thought, because I would think, why in the world would you do that? Every time I had a thought or anything like that about something he did, said, didn't do, whatever, I would think, none of my business. I don't care. This is his house. He can do what he wants to. It don't matter. Do you see what I'm telling you? How many of us as wives, we do that all the time? Most of us don't. I don't know why it is a lot of times as women, we think if we keep telling y'all what's wrong with y'all, surely y'all would want to change it. Wouldn't you? They don't think there's nothing wrong with them. Why do they need to change it? See what I'm telling you? If I change it, it don't matter what he does. If I change me, if I let God change me and I go toward the things of God and I become a better me of the part that God has said or told me that I am, it don't matter. Because, see, you couldn't move Jesus. But now he was a servant. He said, I didn't come to like be crowned king and all this. He said, I came to serve. Number one, his father. Number two, people to die for him. Right? So if I change me, then you can't get to me. But if I don't change me, you could be Jesus himself. And there's something you're on my nerves about. Why? Because there's something wrong with my nerves. Do you understand that's a lot of times all that it is in marriage? Or even in a church, you got different people, different styles, different everything, cultures, all different kinds of stuff and everything. And then God says, okay, I'm going to make y'all one. Ain't that hilarious? But he's the only one that can do it. But he can only do it if we're willing to go with him and let him do it. Excuse me. I got another scripture. So if you're having marriage problems, you can get it fixed. Because you can even divorce that one. And if you don't change you, the next one you marry, they're still going to be on your last nerve. I don't care. I know people have been married 5 times, and their husband is on their last nerve right now. Was that Mark 9? Yeah, that was Mark 9. Let's look. That's the same Greek word for servant. Let's look at John 12. Oh, me. Alrighty. One of the things that God has a big deal for him is loyalty. Y'all didn't know that? Is loyalty. What's that mean? We would call it ride or die. That means, God, it don't matter what comes against me, I'm with you. I'm for you. I want to do what you want me to do. Do you realize a big thing in here is loyalty? God requires loyalty. The Bible says the first thing of a steward or a servant, he must first be found what? Faithful. See, faithfulness is something, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's inside you. But the Bible says it's the work which the Holy Spirit within you will accomplish. You have faithfulness. But how many knows you're supposed to grow that faithfulness? Just like, I have to use Johnny for an example, because Johnny, we never saw nobody do it like you did, is why I keep saying it that way. Usually they're here a couple times and then they're gone. Or they just come in here like a house of fire and then they're gone. You just kind of slowly work your way up to a house of fire, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. But loyalty means you are for us. I don't want to say this stuff, but anyway, I have to. Just like this. You have people coming here, oh, we love you. We love this little church. We're for you. Anything, you know, yada, 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 yada. I'll see them for 3 weeks. You really love me. If my husband come and said he loved me and he went to work, and I'm expecting to see him that evening, expecting to see y'all Wednesday, expecting to see y'all Sunday, and I don't see him for 2 weeks, his key don't even work no more. Because you don't love me. What are you talking about, love me? Have you been caring what I've been going through in my life? Have you been caring if I've been sick or anything? No, you're off doing your own thing while the rest of us is over here doing the work of the Lord that we're supposed to be doing. But then you want what we got, but you don't want to pay the price to get what we're at. I'm not trying to be hard. I feel like this morning it's like, I want to say, let your elevator go up. Not that you're dumb. It's just sometimes it takes the Lord to help us connect the dots. We can't figure out why we don't have what other people have that we see they have, and we believe that God, they got it through God or whatever, but you don't realize you ain't even been here long enough to see the price that we paid. We have people come in the door, oh gosh, passing out their cards or their flyers during Sunday school, and they want to preach here, or they want to teach, or they want to sing, or they want, where have you been? We don't know you. Set your tail down. Why? Number one, we need to see who you really are. The Bible talks about there's wolves roaming around in sheep's clothing. Number one, we don't know if you're a wolf or a sheep. You tell us you're a sheep, but we don't know you're a sheep till we see you're a sheep. That takes time. You got other people, their lives, I'm telling you, it is so messed up. And every year, they're just as jacked up as they was last year. Next year, they'll be just as jacked up as they was last year. Why? This year. Why? Because they're not doing anything different. If you want more of God, He's got to have more of you. If you want God to increase in you, then what? You must decrease. What's that mean? That means my flesh. That means I can't be getting mad. I can't be cussing nobody out. I can't be shooting no birds. I can't be talking bad about my husband. I can't be talking bad about people at church. Y'all come on now. Y'all not saying nothing. That don't feel good either. That was something I went to tell Scotty the other day. I'm not even going to say that because it don't matter and it wouldn't make a difference. I don't have to say everything I know. I don't have to say everything I think. I don't have to say everything that I feel. And I'm telling you, this is a greater learning process for me than it's ever been, but I'm seeing better results and peace and joy in my own life than I have ever seen. But I can tell you, I'm going after God in a way that I have not. Because see, he says, be careful what you hear. He says, for the manner that you use of the word that you hear will be the results that you get. What's that mean? You can't lay out a church for 6 months and think you're going to be on everybody else's level. Why? We've been going to school. And it's not, like I said, it's not just about going to church. It's about what we get. It's about the testimonies that people gives in here and the things that they've been through and the things we hear Jesus did for them and all this other. I mean, it's the whole thing all together. And then when our hearts are one, we rejoice because you got yours. Or we rejoice because God did something for you. When we're not, we sit over there. I tell you right now, I'm a better Christian than they are. Are you really? Evidently you're not, or you wouldn't even let that thought cross your mind for very long at all. So if you want some, the definition of insanity, excuse me, you keep doing the same thing, but you are expecting different results. Listen, honey, and God don't change it for anybody. He says, I am the Lord thy God. He said, and I change not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We all go the same way. We all get the same results for the same amount of word, same amount of yielding to, same amount of obeying, same amount of giving as everybody else. The only reason why some of us are on different levels, some of us have more time. We've been saved longer, so we've had more time or something like that. But you know what? We have Christians, they've been saved for 10 years and they're still on the bottom. That's sad. Because that tells me you have not been doing, because God's not slacking on His job. We're always supposed to be in a process of growing and going forward. And as we do, God rewards. God gives those desires of the heart. God brings. I have a scripture. The reason why I told y'all about that, find the word for you in the word. Write it down. Go over it. I have a scripture that I read every day. I can't even tell you right now where it's at. I can't think good. Anyway, y'all know the scripture when I tell you. It says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. I read that every day. I believe that. I read it every day. I say it out of my mouth because I want it reinforced in my heart. No fear gets in there. No doubt gets in there. God loves me and He wants me to enjoy my life. My pool, my playhouse is my richly to enjoy. That serves no other purpose up there than our enjoyment. And God lets me learn to let all of y'all enjoy it. Ain't that awesome? I told Scotty last night, I said, I have seen that scripture come to pass in my life, and I know He's not done yet. So if you do the word, you put the word in, it grows, it'll bring you a manifestation or a harvest, right? I'm going to have to get to the scripture. All that was free. That wasn't even in my message. I didn't think it was anyway. What did I tell y'all? John 12? All right, let's see. I'm not sure, Beth. What verse was that? 20? I think we'll just leave it King James, Beth, please. We're going to start in verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now He's been telling them, He's about to leave them and all that stuff, you know, He's about to be put on the cross. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn. No, Beth, give me the Amplified in this, I'm sorry. Did her get that? You got it already? Okay, I'm not in a hurry. All right, 24. He says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. He's talking about Himself, but He's talking about also each one of us. As long as we want to keep this life, keep our attitude, keep our own thinking, keep our own way of talking, keep our own way of doing, you're never going to bring any more into the kingdom than what you are. You're never going to have the harvest that God wants you to have. Why? You didn't die. Now, I'm not talking about you. The Bible says you was buried with Christ in baptism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about die to that old self, of what self wants, of what flesh wants. But look what he says. He says, 25, anyone who loves, no, what, yeah, it was, wasn't it? No, let me finish 24, I'm sorry. It says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. When we die to flesh and let Christ live within us as full as we possibly can, there's a continual harvest of life coming to us, through us, all the time. He says, anyone who loves his life loses it. But anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I got, let's see. Well, we're already over time. I'll have to stop. I had one more. But anyway, I'll have to stop for time's sake. Does anybody have any questions or any comments or anything they would like to share before we close?